The Business News Hour is brought to you by the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the economic and community development organization serving Central Iowa, DesMoinesMetro.com, and Arion Technology, HR and contact center solutions, all under one roof at AUREON.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Today, coming to you from the Gulf Shores of Florida, Anna Maria Island. And you know, you never know who you're going to run into when you visit some of these infamous or famous coffee shops here on the island. And last week, I met James Rappold. And James has this company. It's Supply Side Sciences. And we're going to be talking
Supply Chain Sciences.
Supply
Sorry.
Chain Sciences. If I don't read my notes, I don't know from what I'm saying. So James and I started to talk about this, and I found it fascinating, not only from a large business standpoint, but also even small businesses. Welcome to the Business News Hour, James. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's a pleasure to meet you, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Tell us a little bit about you. Where do you come from? What's your background?
Oh, well, that's quite a long story. My father is German. He was in the United States Air Force, stationed in Turkey, met my mom, so I'm half German, half Turkish. That makes me a jerk. So I grew up in New York, in Baltimore, and I studied mathematics and industrial management at Carnegie Mellon, then went on to do a PhD at Cornell University in industrial engineering and operations research. And ever since I was 18 years old, I could not have more fun and enjoyment working in manufacturing environments. So that's what I've dedicated my life to, is helping manufacturing companies around the world.
And you also taught for a while.
Yes, I was a professor at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. I am a Badger. And I was in the School of Business and the College of Engineering, and I ended my career there as director of the Supply Chain Executive Education Program.
Wow. Lots of education.
Lots of education.
Lots of travel.
Yeah,
and academia. So you left academia for what reason?
Well, I think the at the end, our director of executive education had some decisions to make with respect to programs and what he needed to pursue at the University of Wisconsin, quite rightably so. And supply chain is very much a niche program. You know, where we reside, it's a half technical, half social science. That is, it has the benefit of mathematical theory and computer science those kinds of tools and approaches. However, you're still dealing with humans that are making decisions, and for that reason, it's a social science. And so at different universities, this particular field can sometimes reside in an engineering college, sometimes in a school of business. And so, you know, when it came down to the direction where the School of Business was headed with respect to executive education, supply chain just wasn't really at the forefront. They were concentrating on other things. So at this moment, we're working with Rollins College here in Winter Park, Florida. We're also working with Lehigh University up in Bethlehem, PA, and in those universities that see an opportunity to bring supply chain and manufacturing and distribution into their executive education programs.
Well, some folks that may be listening may not be familiar with supply chain management, just those three words.
Yes.
Can you explain that? Is it from manufacturing to consumer? How does all that work?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think it's a relatively new term, and depending on the organization, industry that you speak with, you're going to have slightly different definitions of supply chain management. In some organizations, it's really concentrated on logistics and transportation and warehousing. Mm-hmm. In other organizations, it concentrates on sourcing and procurement, especially with respect to where a lot of companies have shifted their supply bases, not only across the United States and NAFTA, but also
global.
Overseas into Asia. But for us, the way that we think about supply chain management, and by the way, a third component could be some organizations view it as a marketing function, you know, how to approach dealers and distributors and wholesalers in their marketplace. For us, the way that we view supply chain management is that it's a business philosophy. And it's a business philosophy that rests on five principal activities. First, you have to operationally define what customers want. And what I mean by that is we have so much data out there, and we think that we can understand what marketing signals customers are demanding. We think we understand what the pricing is that customers want to pay. But the fact is we really don't know as much as we need to know. about what customers want. So when I say operationally defined customer requirements, especially in business-to-business environments, that is companies selling to other companies, when an organization makes something and they're selling it as a original equipment manufacturer, or they're supplying an automotive company, or they're supplying as a first-tier supplier to an aerospace company, those are very different types of requirements than, say, if they're shipping material to an after-sales and service company that is distributing and stocking material for repair in the field. So when I say principle one, understand operationally what customers want, it's really a deep dive into what customer behaviors are and really what they want. And they're just great examples of customers and companies making mistakes over the past few decades. I mean, just to give you an example, if you and I were to go to a local car dealer, let's say that you like Porsches, just for an example's sake, and Michael, what kind of car color would be your Porsche choice?
If you
were
yellow,
okay, of course, you're a yellow Porsche guy. So if you and I were going to go to the local Porsche dealer and get a yellow Porsche for you today, it just so happens that yesterday they received a brand new shipment of 3911s that are black. Unfortunately, they don't have any yellows. But let's say that you and I step foot onto the dealer. The sole mission in life of the dealer at this moment in time when he sees us
is to sell you a black
car. Is to sell us the black car. So now, Michael, if I ask you, you know, would you pay $150,000 for a black Porsche?
Probably not.
No, well, how about, what would you say about maybe $130,000? I like your face, so you look nice to me. How about I start lowering the price? At some point... Yellow gives way to the price, and all of a sudden you can visualize yourself with the sunglasses, and you look fine in a black Porsche. Now, of course, that sales signal gets fired back to Stuttgart, Germany, and what does the signal say? Build black. More blacks. Now, is that really what the customer wanted? No, you wanted a yellow one. And so you know, when we work with our clients around understanding customer requirements, it's really trying to understand what is the product mix that customers are demanding, what is the timing of their orders, and how do they place the orders? Are they ordering in full truckloads, less than truckloads? Are they ordering in full pallets, mixed pallets? All of these ordering characteristics have a very significant impact on how you design your supply network to respond to those demands in a cost-efficient way. And if you don't understand that, one of two risks happen. Either you completely over-engineer the system where you're stocking too much material and you have too much capability that the marketplace isn't willing to pay for, or you're missing the boat and you're losing customers to those competitors that can actually fulfill that demand.
James Reifard, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about supplychainservices.com or sciences.com. And we're talking about the whole idea of supply chain management by doing deep dives into what consumers really want versus what the company thinks that they want. Isn't that a primary problem with many corporations out there? They take a guy from, well, look at JCPenney. They did the same thing. They brought a guy, what was it, Amazon?
Apple, I think. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think his name was Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah. And so he comes in and redesigns things around what was the Apple model for sales in a department store, and they took it in the shorts.
That's a great point. I mean, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I mean, as someone said a long time ago. But, you know, from a supply chain perspective, if we can understand, looking at sales history, looking at market research, really try to understand how to segment a customer base, how to quantify what the mix of products are that they're demanding, what the quantities are that they're demanding, and most importantly, Michael, what is the response time expectation of these customers? Do they want it shipped same day, or do they provide 1 week of lead time between when the order is placed and when they expect delivery? All of those components have a very significant impact on how you'd have to design the supply network, and most importantly, the cost. What is the cost structure? So everything we just talked about is the first starting point in trying to understand what supply chain management is about. It's trying to understand what customers require and design a system around that. The second principle is the physical infrastructure of the network itself.
What have you got to move things?
Exactly. Or to make things.
Yeah.
Do I make something in-house, or do I contract it out on a flexible basis? Do I make it stateside, or do I make it in Asia and ship it? You know, there's no free lunch here. You got to pay with your left hand, or you got to pay with your right hand. Either I pay with higher labor costs here in the United States, but I have a shorter response time, or I delude myself into believing that I can get it cheaper overseas, but then I take it in the shorts with long logistics time as well as costs. And gosh forbid, if anything changes along the way, when material is on the water, on a boat, coming into the port of Long Beach, anything can happen. Demand can shift. Things can arise, which can invalidate that whole supply line. Even engineering change orders, things that happen internally to the organization, can quickly invalidate plans that you have. And so, for that reason, I do believe still, from an analysis standpoint, the total cost of responding to these customer demands is an opportunity that many companies need to look into.
And what's the third leg?
The third one is we think about, from a supply chain management perspective, information systems. Because, you know, when I was growing up in Baltimore, I had a chance to work for a company called Carl Lowry. And the CEO, who's actually from Iowa and the Illinois area, his name was Dick Schrode. He's retired now down here in Florida. But he gave me that first opportunity into manufacturing. And what was wonderful about that experience is I could walk around the plant every morning from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning, every morning, and see what was going on. Hmm. I didn't have to look at a computer screen. I didn't have to look at reports. I would just wander around the plant and see what was going on. So during the daily meetings, you actually could talk about, hey, how are you going to, where are the problems and what are you going to do about it? But Michael, how do you do that today with 15 factories around the world? You have 30 warehouses. Some of our clients have enormous supply chain bases. So the only possible way to keep tabs on the entire system is through information systems. This is just like a pilot, visual flight controls, or do you have to go to instrumentation, we're flying in the clouds. So from an information system standpoint, over the last 20 years, companies have poured hundreds of millions of dollars into, and when I say hundreds of millions of dollars, I'm talking about individual company by company. There was one company we worked with in Milwaukee who spent $400 million on an SAP implementation, and that is a very significant amount of infrastructure spending for an organization. And an ERP system such as SAP, Oracle, and others, the whole point of this system is to record transactions. So to coordinate the placement of raw materials, the ordering of raw materials, the receipt of raw materials, the receipt of the advanced shipping notice, the receipt and quality check, the payment to the vendor, all of those activities and signals can get coordinated and provide visibility to where inventory is, who's doing what, are we on track to plan, what's our schedule adherence, what's our on-time delivery, et cetera. And the beautiful thing about these systems is that it all links up to their financials. So under an ideal set of circumstances, these execution systems should provide quite a bit of visibility. And so that's kind of our third principle of supply chain management. What is the information infrastructure, and how good is the visibility that these systems provide? It's only dependent, though, on the transaction discipline of the organization, if they're using it correctly and if the master data management processes are in place. Otherwise, like they always say, garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. One of the interesting things that I think maybe some folks are listening to this and they're going, okay, this all has to do with large companies, large multinational companies. But we can even drill this down into, say, for example, a restaurant group.
Sure.
Maybe a restaurant has got four or five places, or maybe even one location. And how do you manage what you order and buy? And do you get, as we talked the other day, do you get, for the coffee house here at Anna Marie Island, do you order 40 pounds of coffee, 20 pounds of coffee? How do you know where to go?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the other principles of supply chain management is don't confuse the decision-making with the execution. Mm. Because these systems, and I don't care if it's a spreadsheet or if it's a nice SAP or Oracle system, you have to separate the transaction from the decision. So inside of SAP, for instance, planners can get into a particular screen and place an order for lots of material. And, let's say to your example, Here in the coffee shop, if I'm going to order, do I order 40 pounds? Once I order 40 pounds in SAP, that purchase order requisition gets transmitted electronically to the vendor. The vendor receives it in their system. They qualify the credit, make sure that we're a good customer and that we're paying. Then if they do a material check, if they have the material, then they'll ship it. If they don't have it, then they'll package it and then ship it, maybe even going back to the roasting, then package it and then ship it. On our side, we may receive an advanced shipment notice that says, hey, your order has been shipped, like we do with Amazon as consumers. And then we would expect receipt of that material. We would check the quality, make sure that we would accept receipt of that before sending it back, and then we log it in our system. But why did we order 40 pounds and not 100 pounds? So that's the decision. And
right.
And when we talk about supply chain science as our company, we really focus on the decision-making aspect of supply chains. We don't think that buying a piece of software or buying any kind of tool is going to necessarily lead to results. It's a very elusive and seductive thought that consulting companies around the world are very good at convincing their clients and potential customers that's possible. If you buy SAP, if you buy Oracle, everything will be better. And that's just not true. I mean, we've seen that as educators. So, our basic tenet is that, yes, you do need technology, but you also need the investment in people. And I would say that half of our clients would be better suited to take the funding and the money associated with buying technology and thinking that they can buy their way to success, and then take that same dollars and invest it in the people, invest it in the buyers, planners, and schedulers that are literally making millions of dollars of decisions per day in these organizations that the chief financial officer and the chief executive officer will see the results of 6 months from now. But really, to get at those results now requires a very different philosophy on how you invest in people in the area of supply chain management.
So it really does all come down to the decision makers and the ability to see through the numbers. It's sort of like, and we talked about this the other day, it's sort of like buying a Bowflex, putting it in the corner and expecting to get healthy.
That's right. No, you need a coach. You need discipline. You need someone to ride you and say, "Hey, stop. Put those bag of Doritos down and get back to work." If your objective is to lose weight and get into your summer mode of activity, then you have to be on it. And that's very much our philosophy.
Good stuff. Thanks so very much for spending some time with us. I think that individuals who are going to be listening to this will probably start to think to themselves, okay, am I making these decisions built with the knowledge of what the consumer wants, or is it because of what I want the consumer to want?
Yeah, or you know what, the third, even more dangerous one is designing the system around the customers that already love you. That's great. But if you really want to understand where the opportunities are, find the customers that can't stand you. Find the customers that used to do business with you that don't do business with you anymore because something failed. And this is where market research companies can really lend a hand to supply chain management professionals, because as supply chain people, we don't speak marketing.
Right, right.
It's just a different language.
Excellent stuff. Thanks so much, James.
Thank you very much.
The company, once again, is called SupplyChainSciences.com. We will have links to all of this on our radio blog page. Great to meet up with you here at
yes.
the Island Coffee House.
Likewise.
Of all things.
Likewise.
Take care. Hold on tight to your dreams.